When I worked in investment banking for 18 years, every May I attended a two-day investor conference in New York City at one of those big hotels in Times Square. There were over 1,000 people who attended this conference, including hospital system executives and bankers and lawyers and a lot of bond investors. Everywhere I went, I was surrounded by this loud buzz of multitude of conversations as accomplished and confident people rushed about trying to network, to acquire information, and to market their firms. It could be daunting to work my way through the crowd, to sort out the relationships, and try to figure out where I was going to jump into the fray. That's the image that sprang to mind as I read today's gospel this week. There is so much noise and so many comings and goings that it is hard to get our bearings. So I think a little context might help. Today's gospel begins right after a critical event in the way John tells the story of Jesus' life. Jesus is driven out of the temple for challenging the religious establishment with a new understanding of God. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," and he offers living water and life-giving bread, implying that God can be known through him. He proclaims, therefore, that God is not remote or disengaged from creation, but fully present, enlivening and renewing all things. Good news for those who hear it, but scandalous and upsetting to the religious hierarchy. So they call him crazy, and they gather stones, and they drive him from their midst. That's the backstory of today's gospel, and I think it explains some of the tension and the immediate confrontation that we see. And it's a long story, even longer than last week, but the action itself is brief, right at the beginning, when Jesus encounters the man blind from birth. With no explanation or fanfare, he makes a paste of mud and spit and smears it on the man's eyes and says, "Go, wash." And then he disappears from the scene, while the man receives his sight and all the leaders and the lawyers and the people invested in this man being blind launch into a multitude of conversations, rushing about, trying to acquire information or market their take on the matter. The neighbors and those who knew him as a beggar now have trouble remembering what he used to look like when he was that man who was blind. Members of the temple, whom John calls the Jews multiple times, argue that the man had never really been blind. He was probably just pretending. So a quick time out. There is no anti-Semitism here. John and his community were Jewish too, but at the time of this writing, they themselves felt estranged from the mainstream temple community. And so you hear some of that us versus them in the way he tells the story. But it is not about their being Jewish. So the temple members summon the man's parents, who were so frightened that after they confirmed that he was indeed born blind, they stop talking. And the Pharisees, the ones with authority to interpret religious law, jump on the fact that this healing took place on the Sabbath. Aha! Because Jesus has breached the no work on the Sabbath rule, he must be an imposter. So they summon the man blind from birth and pressure him to discredit Jesus. And throughout all of this, the rushing people interrogate the man, "What did he do to you? How did this happen?" With so much noise and chaos, it can be hard to hear the quiet, persistent voice of the man formerly known as the one born blind. The man called Jesus put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see. It's simple. I was blind, and now I see. All the other conversations fade into the background, and we're left with the heart of the story about a man who lives in darkness, defined by his difference and his dependence, and isolated by his need. And about the man Jesus, who scoops up earth, humus in Hebrew, the root for humility and humanity. Jesus smears this earth on the man's eyes, sends him to wash, and changes his life. He once was lost, but now is found. Blind, but now he sees. Amazing grace indeed. And Jesus explains, this is how God's works are revealed. If this is the way God works in the world, then we encounter the Holy One in surprising places. Maybe, like the man with new sight, we also meet God in our places of darkness and difference and dependence and isolation. The places where we stumble over our helplessness and surrender our illusions of control. And you know, everyone feels some sort of emptiness, a lack, a longing for connection that they may hide or ignore, but also yearn to have healed. Even people who exude success or who seem completely at ease at busy networking events. It took me many years of attending those investor conferences to see underneath the veneer of confidence and accomplishment to the common desire for affirmation, for recognition, connection, and companionship. The fact is that brokenness and incompletion and the pain associated with them are inescapable parts of being human. We can deny them, numb them, or drown them out with loud conversation, but they are still there. In our own sense of difference or isolation, we can be tempted to think that others must have it all figured out, and that I'm the only one who stumbles and doubts. So rather than reach out to each other in humility and in need, we adopt an impenetrable stance of cynicism. I wonder if that is what is going on with these people in the gospel. Maybe the healing of the local beggar and his growing confidence in Jesus' message of a completely present, loving God makes them aware of their own brokenness. What if they accepted that and allowed themselves to receive the same transformative love? Maybe the gospel would have read like this instead. Jesus said to the man blind from birth, "Go, wash." And the man went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar gathered around him, astonished at what had happened. They gave thanks to God and they went rejoicing to the home of his parents so that they might know the wondrous gift their son had received from Jesus. Then they presented him to the Pharisees and the other leaders of the synagogue, who were also amazed. After hearing what happened, they exclaimed, "Surely God's goodness and mercy are here. Let us learn more about this man." That's not how it went, but it could have. We can't change the past, but we can influence the present. Although it can be chaotic and noisy in this world today, in our lives, today is our day for cooperating with amazing grace. God's Spirit is not remote or removed from creation, but fully present, enlivening and renewing all things. May we be still and accept the mud of humanity and humility, so that our eyes can be opened too. And even as we strive for justice and peace, may we be brave enough to acknowledge our limitations and embrace our need. The need for God, for grace, and for each other. That is all that is necessary for God's works to be revealed. Amen.